Hey guys, Job here, the local, and we have
Rachel, the gringa.
And in this episode, we have a very special guest here in the studios. We have Ian Oliva. Now, Ian Oliva works at Belize Pro Dive. We'll let him introduce himself a little bit more. So, Ian, thanks for coming. Thanks for being here, man.
Thank you for having me. Pleasure. I'm Ian. I was born and raised in Belize, Belize City in particular. I moved out here when I was about 17 years old, and I've been here. I was been here from then till I was 25. Then I moved away to the UK, and now I'm back last year, August, full time. Yeah.
How long did you spend in the UK?
About 6 years, long enough.
Okay, long enough. Yeah, why do you say long enough?
No place like home.
Yeah. Well, I guess the weather's a little different too. Yeah, how you miss the sunshine.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you dive up there?
Once, down in a place called Pembroke. Yeah, just one time.
Is it cold?
Very cold.
Gonna wear the right
7 mil wetsuit. Yeah. So yeah, not trying that again. But so yeah, I decided to come back home last year, and haven't regretted it since. I appreciate home a lot more now since I've been away.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. So you went out, but right now, currently, what do you do?
So currently, I am the social media manager and help with the management at the dive shop. So anywhere from bookings, concierge, getting some social media stuff up, anything I can help the boss with. And then I do try to dive sometimes now and then, because I am a scuba instructor as well.
That's awesome. Well, the way I met Ian was like I mentioned in the last episode when we talked about the first time I did the Blue Hole, was... I mentioned that story then, go check that out. But Ian was pretty cool, a pretty cool guy from the minute I met him. He was pretty cool about, you know, having locals come in and get to experience that tour. And I felt his hospitality from the get-go. He was very hospitable to me, to Cynthia. And that's kind of what attracted me to him as well. Because we have this thing here, a lot of times people that work in the industry, yeah, they're okay with working with locals, but sometimes it's like, yeah, they really want to, you know, like, waste my time, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah,
but Ian wasn't like that. Ian was a straight up guy. He was pretty cool about it. And a plug in here, make sure you go and subscribe to Belize Pro Dive. The videos this guy shoots are pretty cool. You gotta definitely do that. So Ian, what was it like living abroad for 6-8 years, you said?
It was very different at first. Growing up, I lived a lot of different places. I grew up with my grandmother, so lived in the States for a bit, Mexico. We even spent a couple of months in India once.
Wow.
Because she has a family there. So I've been in a lot of places growing up, so it wasn't that much of a new thing to me. So, living there as an adult, I guess, is a lot different than traveling and moving as a kid where your mom takes care of everything. I found it very weird because all I ever knew from the time I was 16, 17 is about tour guiding and diving and fishing and all that. So going out there and finding any job I could just to get on, you know, on the working ladder there, it proved a little bit difficult. The culture was... a little bit more difficult to get used to.
Where in the UK did you live?
I lived in Mid Wales, so a place called Brecon. Very mountainy country area. It was the weather was some different as well. You got about 2 to 3 weeks of sunny weather. You had to drive about an hour to get to the beach, and even when you got there, the water was cold, so you can't really like... You dip your feet in for like 5 minutes and then you can't feel them.
Was there a point there that you said, you know what, F this, I'm going back?
I think what really, I would say break me, because I lasted there like a lot longer than most people thought I would.
they had bets on you.
They were like, 2 years, you'll be back. And I think what really like, set me up to come home, apart from like, because the owner of the dive shop's also my father. So I think apart from him saying, man, you know, you got to come back. You're from paradise. You're literally saving money to come home to where you're from every year. So and after COVID as well, I feel, or like during COVID, I feel like the way the UK managed it, obviously, I don't know how other countries managed it, but the way they managed it, I think people got very silly, so to speak. And it got to a point where I'm like, you know, I can't see myself here in the future, especially that, like I said, the culture is very different. Like there, it's very, everyone's very, I don't want to say like babied. And here, you know, growing up, it's like, psst, get on with it, you know, just move on with it. And there it's very, oh, you're okay, you'll be okay, blah, blah, blah. Here it's just, and that's kind of like what I struggled with. So, I mean, even before I moved to the UK, like, it was like that, the work culture, even just at home with parents, it's like, you know, shit happens, you know, you just have to get on with it. And I feel like people just, which, you know, I understand why, because after the third year of living there, and there was less and less sun, I was like, oh shit, I see why you guys are depressed, because damn, this, you need sun to be happy, you know? I can see why you guys are always angry and depressed. So I got them after a while. Like, I got them after a while, but yeah, at some points you just have to, like, just get on with it, you know? Life moves on, and you can't just linger on one thing for a long time.
That's true.
Yeah.
How was the food? Did you have a favorite dish? I'm trying to think of Wales food, and I can't think of any specific food that would come from there.
They mostly do like roast dinners. So they'll grab a like chunk of beef, chunk of chicken, roasted veg and stuff like that, gravy. Very different than here.
Definitely very different.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. Not much seafood, huh?
No, not much seafood and not much seasoning. We don't go there now.
So did you have people send over hot sauce to you?
Yeah, I found Marie Sharp on Amazon the second week I lived there.
Okay, good.
I put hot sauce on everything. People just thought, I took hot sauce to work, and they're like, what the hell is that? I was like, you want to try it? But yeah, flavoring, yeah. So
flavoring.
So yeah, like some dishes were really good. And then, but I, you know, I guess, again, it's just a culture thing. It is what it is. And, you know, it's a lot different when you come from a place like Belize that's very diverse.
Yeah.
Visiting London and the bigger cities in the UK, though, like, I really enjoyed going to London, specifically a place called Camden Market, because you just have all people from all walks of life there. I remember my favorite food from there. There was this Venezuelan place that served like arepas, stuffed arepas. Oh my gosh, they were so good.
Different people from London. It was different.
Oh yeah. London, yeah. Like if you've ever been to New York as well, it's quite similar to New York. Just you have more foreign people than Londoners or
working in Jones visa there to get into New York.
New York is like London on crack. Like, yeah, you go to Chelsea Market and it's the same thing. So yeah, it's it was, the food was all right. Like, you could get by, but definitely not better than home.
That's good. So talking about food, let's jump in a little bit on to here in the island. What is your favorite dish? And I know you probably have a lot, but
yeah.
If you had, if you had to eat this one dish for the rest of the year, what would be and where?
I have to say Elvie's Kitchen. I'd go there every single day if I could.
What about Elvie's Kitchen? Because they have a large
menu. Yeah, the whole hogfish.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
the whole hogfish or the butter grouper. Like the grouper, yeah. Yeah, the, like deep fried.
What are you guys doing after this?
Yeah,
they're closed on Sunday, aren't they?
Yeah, we're going to Elvie's.
It's just funny that they're closed on Sunday, and one of the days I would think they would be the busiest. But I guess it's Sunday.
Some people need breaks.
That's another thing they don't do in the UK. They don't close on Sundays. Mm-hmm. Everything is open.
That's fun.
Yeah.
So now, when it comes to diving in Belize, right? I know you do that a lot. And I see your posts all the time, and it's like, man, I get that, you know, the water is amazing and everything, but I think, does it ever feel like a job?
What I do now feels a little bit more like a job. But before, when I used to teach a lot, it didn't feel like a job. And I think, like I said, being away made me appreciate it a lot more, because every day is different, because you work with different people every day, right? You have your colleagues, but you're also working with new guests. Right. You know, everyone has different characters, different personalities. You meet people. I've met some people that, like, I call family now, like, through diving. In particular, I have some friends from New Jersey that they travel all over the world, and they never go to the same place more than once. And Belize, they've been to 9 times because they absolutely love it here. And it doesn't really feel like a job, like, for the most part, you know. And if you, and like I said, if you've had another job before this, you look back and you're like, I get paid to show these people, you know, around and have fun at the same time, because no dive is the same, you know. Okay. So you always see different stuff or, you know, different things. And keep learning.
You just mentioned it. You always see different stuff. And I'm pretty sure, like, the time that we went there, we spotted the whale. And for me, it was like, this is my ultimate Belize memory, because I've never seen...
That was my first time seeing a whale. I've seen, like, pilot whales and killer whales once, but that's the first sperm whale we've seen when we went out there.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Me. So you were, that's a lucky day.
You
must have been the lucky charm there, Joe.
Yeah. luckily we got it on the video, right? Yeah, the drone. So, yeah, that was good. That was a really nice memory.
Underwater. What has been your best dive or favorite dive? Spotting of something else apart from or the whale still takes it?
That's hard because I have thousands of dives. So I have to say it's between the first time I saw a hammerhead. He was about 14, 15 feet. And then the first time I seen a manta ray.
Manta ray is a big one.
Big manta ray, yeah. So... because here we have like spur and groove canyons. So we were coming out like of a little tunnel, and I was certifying one girl, Rebecca, I still remember her name, because she comes here quite often as well. And it was her fourth dive. She was finishing up her certification. We were coming out of like a little coral wall, and all of a sudden this like 12-foot manta, like his wingspan, came right over us. And I was just in disbelief because it was the first time I seen one. And I took her camera and I started taking photos and stuff like that. And me and the other dive master, Bernie, we were just blown away by it. And this was a long time ago, probably about 7-8 years ago. And we came up to the surface, and it's like one of the best dives I've ever done. And so at the end of certification, we have this logbook where they log their dives. They put information like the depth, the time. And there's a little place where you could put notes like what you saw. And all I saw her wrote on her book, and I still have a photo of it. It says, "Big effing manta." And I was just laughing about it. And she's like, and up to this day, she's like, "You spoiled me, because now everywhere I go, that's the best dive I've ever done." And that was only like my fourth dive. So yeah, she's excited to get back here again.
Have you spotted a manta ray after?
Yeah. I've seen them probably about a dozen times, but it's not something you see like every dive.
Right. Yeah, you're saying thousands, right?
Yeah. When you dive the hundreds of them. Yeah. So yeah. Seeing it 12 times,
it's not bad. It's not too bad. Yeah.
So. Out of curiosity, how old were you on your first dive?
My first dive, I think I was about 10 or 11, but I kind of freaked out because, like I said, I was raised on the mainland. So we didn't get to swim much there and stuff like that. Most of my family are from out here and from Key Cocker. So I would only like learn to swim there. So I kind of like freaked out. I was like, nah, I never want to do this again. And then I had to come out here for high school when I was younger. And then they had like a summer program at Ramon's. And then all my cousins were like, oh, let's go. Don't be a chicken, blah, blah, blah. Let's do it. And then I just went with them and gave me the confidence. And I started diving ever since I was 13, 14. From there,
what does it take to become a diver?
So basically, it's now that everything's like technological and everything, you can do all your academic work online. It takes about 6 to 8 hours. Once you finish that, then you need to do what's called 5 confined pool dives, so you learn all your skills that you would need in real scenario situations, and then after you have 4 open water dives. So 3 of those dives you do skills, some of the skills you learn in the pool, and then the last dive is just a fun dive. You apply whatever you learn and you just go out there and dive. The first 2 dives are usually shallow. We do that whole chan, 29 feet max depth. And then the third and fourth dive is outside the reef, where some of the diving at the moment is really, really good because all the sharks that are coming around, so people love that, you know. So it's basically five confined dives, four open water dives, and your academic work, and then you get a license for life, basically.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you need to keep a year to do something or keep updating?
No, that's if you're absent from diving for like a couple of years, then you're required to do like a refresher. If it's like more than 10 years, then you have to do something called like a reactivate. So a lot changes throughout the years. So you got to like update and stuff like that. Only if you're a professional, then every year you got to pay like a license fee to keep your license, basically, like a driver's license or stuff like that.
Yeah. What would be the things that you would tell someone who doesn't know nothing about diving, like myself, that you know, that why diving is worth it, and, you know, just overall, is it something that you recommend everybody to do?
I think the most, like, beneficial thing about diving is you don't have to hear people speak because they can't. I'm joking. Because they are regulated, right? No.
People are empowered.
Yeah. If you have a partner, teach them to dive, right? you won't have to listen to them. No, I think it's really beneficial. Once you're down there, it's just calm, relaxed, you know. It's like any other thing, walking on the beach, walking in the woods, like, being out in nature, it does help mentally and physically as well. And I think, especially for locals, it is important because, you know, people come out here and pay hundreds, thousands of dollars to dive right here. And I realize that there's a lot of locals that don't do it. They can't appreciate what's, you know, out there. So I think it's very important. And, you know, I try to teach as many locals as I can, you know, and let them know, like, it's not for everyone, but it doesn't hurt to try, you know. So there's like, you can even start off at a Discover Scuba Dive. You go in the pool, test out the equipment, see what it's like, and then go for a dive at Holchan, nice shallow dive you start off, and then you never know, you can go from there. So
I did the pool course in New Orleans.
Yeah.
The written test and the pool course when I was in New Orleans. And then, like, all right, we're going to a quarry in Florida in a couple of weeks, and you can do your open water there, and you're going to need to bring your thick wetsuit. And yeah. I was like, you know, I want to be in Belize. I'm going to do it in Belize. And they're like, Belize is going to be your first dive. And this dive group had actually coordinated a trip for later that year to come here to Ambergris Cay to Ramones. And they had their whole dive trip planned. And I was like, how amazing is that we live in a place where people are, like you said, traveling here specifically with the intent to dive. And it's just fascinating that it's right there in the front yard.
Exactly.
How about diving sense? What would be for someone who's coming here to Belize? I mean, maybe they already got their certification back in the States. Coming here for the first time to dive in Belize, what would be the places, as you would say, the definition to?
Like, my number one, it has to be Half Moon Cay Wall on the Blue Hole trip, where we went, you know, the second stop. I think that's one of the best dive sites in Belize itself. Because it has everything. It has like little swim throughs, it has tons of fish, color, coral, my favorite, the sharks that come around. You have groupers that just hang out there, they want to be pet, you know, like stuff like it's just really relaxing, really peaceful. For local dives, I would go, again, that's just my preference, Tackle Box. There's like, again, swim throughs, one of my favorite, like going through little caverns. You have the reef sharks as well, tons and tons of reef sharks. So for local, I'd definitely go Tackle Box. And
that is our own weird.
You know where Tackle Box used to be? Directly in front.
The old Tackle Box.
Yeah. I'm back. So the old Tackle Box, that's where it is, directly in front. Most of the dive sites, they're named off like the landmarks. So, like, you know, the Diamante Hotel, there's Diamante Canyons. Mayan Princess in front of Mayan Princess Canyons and stuff like that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so most of them are named
Holchan is in front of Paul Chan.
No, I think that's the other way around. there used to be a popular one called Esmeralda, and then I don't know if you guys knew that there used to be a park pretty much where the park is in town. It used to be called Esmeralda Park. So there's a dive site directly in front called Esmeralda.
For Central Park.
Yeah, Central Park used to be called Esmeralda. And that dive site, before I think the last hurricane we had, they used to take like chum down there and they would just be tons of nurse sharks and moray eels and stuff like that. It's gone now since the hurricane, like the sharks don't hang around there. But Tackle Box now is the new like for sharks, and you get a lot of more reef sharks and stuff like that. But yeah, definitely Half Moon Cay and Tackle Box is my favorite.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
How about the deepest dive you've done in the league?
Well, you know, when you're 19, you feel invincible. So, you're for recreational diving, you're only supposed to go down 130 feet. It's recommended by Paddy. So you know that's what you do in the blue hole. You go out to 130 feet, make your way back up. When I was 19, I wouldn't do it now. Me and my friend Bernie, there's this thing called a bounce dive. Again, not recommended. You literally just go down. You hit like about 190 feet, 200 feet. You can see where it drops off. So basically, after all that Coral Canyon, it drops off to about 3,000 feet of water. So it's just blue, dark, new abyss.
After.
Yeah, so you know when we're going to Blue Hole, the big open blue, that's 3,000 feet just below us. So we went to the drop-off, basically. So that was about 194 feet. And looking up, it was scary. I have to admit, it was scary. So 194 feet to date is my deepest dive, but again, not recommended.
That sounds something to...
Yeah, yeah.
Not taking one the newbie diver there.
Yeah, yeah.
Good luck, you did your four dives.
Yeah. So that's my deepest dive, and then like I've ever done, and I wouldn't do it again. I've done it once, I don't think I'd do it again. Yeah.
Is it risky?
Yeah. Oh. What happens is when you're diving, oxygen gets toxic after a certain depth. So... you don't want to exceed those levels, and going down there, it is a risk. You can get oxygen toxicity, there is a risk to it. You can go down to those depths, but that's a whole different type of diving, right. Technical diving.
Yeah,
yeah. So where you have different blends of gases, and you're taking down like 6-7 tanks, and your dive is about 2 to 2.5 hours and stuff like that. So that's a whole different type of diving.
Yeah. Well, it is, I guess, reassuring, too, to note there are hyperbaric chambers here. We had Dr. Renee on earlier.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, we were talking about medical care here and facilities and, you know, how Crest believes it's, you know, not the best, but at least we have hyperbaric chambers.
Definitely, yeah, especially for a place like this.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But I know those aren't cheap either.
No, for that reason, there's what's called, like, Dan Insurance. So, for example, everyone at our dive shop that works there, they're required to have that insurance, Diver Alert Network. So
what's that looking like?
It's only $65 US a year, and that covers you for $50,000 US in fees and $10,000 US in like transport fees. Luckily, we have a chamber. So, and if you do get decompression illness for whatever reason, $50,000 is more than enough to cover you because. If you have to do 3 days or three tables, what they call tables, you're looking at anywhere between 13 to 15 hours in there. And each hour is about $2,000. Yeah. So the insurance will cover that. So it's always good to have insurance. Even myself, like I don't dive as much as I used to, but I still make sure. Yeah.
Well, and I know it's good for, I mean, just divers generally to have it too, right? To have that in your back,
Pocket.
Because like we were talking before about the BUPA and SIGNA insurance, other like medical insurance, they typically will cover your diving expenses if you have medical issues related to diving.
That makes sense. So now coming into Belize being one of the, I would say premier, would you say it's premier diving location?
Yeah, still. Currently one of the best spots to dive, especially around the Caribbean, especially doing those offshore trips like Turnip and the Blue Hole, definitely one of the premier. And also the convenience of having the reef so close. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that is true. What would you say is the frequently asked questions from that you always get all the time from divers who probably have dived outside of Belize, but they're considering Belize too?
One of the most frequently asked questions is like, if we have shore diving. A lot of places, example,
what is shore diving?
Shore diving. So, you know, here we had to go out on the boat and then you do your dives, because obviously you can't walk in from the beach because you have to swim all the way to the reef, which is unsafe. So places like Bonaire, you can literally rent a car, rent a tank, some gear, and you just jump off the shore, do your own dives, and then make your way back up.
Oh, you go on your own.
You go on your own. As a certified diver, you are allowed to go, well, recommended with a buddy. In Belize, it's against the law, though. So if someone can't, for example, if they live here, they can't just have a boat and have their own tanks and then go out and do a dive, because it is against the law, unless you have a tour guide license or a tour guide with you, something like that. So that's one question that pops up a lot. Can I dive on my own, or can I shore dive? Mm-hmm. And there's not many places in Belize that has shore diving. I think there's like a couple private islands down south that you can, because it's right on the reef. But yeah, that's a frequently asked question. Do I need a license to dive? Because some people think there are some places in the world you can just go pay a little money and then, you know, go down, which isn't the safest thing. Another frequently asked questions are like, just what do you expect to see here? Stuff like that. So most
everything.
Of it's, yeah, everything. Most things, yeah, background, exactly. So I'd say those are the most like frequently asked questions, like stuff like that I get in the email all the time, and or what's the procedure of getting certified if you're not certified and stuff like that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now moving out from diving, when childhood memory here or anywhere, what's your favorite childhood memory?
Can it be like teenage room?
Teenage
room. Yeah. We had to last week if you wanted to be last week.
February 14th, 2000.
I laughed.
I lost my fin,
yeah. I think, like, I became an instructor when I was about 18 years old.
Wow.
And, I was one of the youngest instructors at that point on the island. And I went to Honduras and come back. And I think it was more than just one memory. It was like a series of memory, like just starting to teach people how to scuba dive. And you get some people who are just so grateful, and to the point where you have some people that, let's say, like, you've literally changed my life and stuff like that. And just the gratitude from having people like that, you know, so like someone 18, 19 years old, they're basically trusting you with their life, you know? So I think that's one of my favorite adolescent memories, like becoming an instructor at that age and just showing people what I love to do. And I still feel very enthusiastic about what I do. But, you know, at that age, you're you know, fresh in the game and you just want to do the best you can and show people what your country has to offer. So I think that's one of my favorite like memories of all on the island as well. Yeah,
that's pretty sweet memory. Yeah, definitely.
I was gonna say, and it seems like too, you've really built some great relationships with some of the people that you've taken diving or taught diving, right? You said they continue to come back.
We have a lot of return guests that not only come to see me, but a lot of guys at the dive shop as well. And we've been open for just over a decade, and we still have people with us from day one, which is quite nice, which is good for not only us, but for the country as well, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we've briefly touched about it, that how working in the tourism industry, and just working in the service industry, is you give your best, no matter if you're a diver, you're a waiter, you're a bartender, you probably will reach a point where you build your own reputation, you build your own thing.
Yeah.
The people will love and come back to Belize so much times, and they probably look out for you because you've looked out for them when you were here.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Second to last question here. So what is your favorite place outside of San Pedro and the why in Belize?
In Belize. To be honest with you, I haven't traveled much around Belize as much as I like to, and I want to change that, definitely, especially since being back home.
Maybe we could do a collab where we go to the mainland together.
Let's do it. Let's do it. I know a guy, so let's go. definitely. I'd definitely like to do more of the mainland, especially like west and south. But my favorite thing to do on the mainland, and I'd do it over and over again, is the ATM cave.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's quite special. And it's really ominous and cool. And like, you know, the first contact with your guide, he's like, well, the guide I had, he was like, if you're claustrophobic, if you have blood pressure, heart problems, if you don't like snakes, if you don't like spiders, this isn't for you, you know? So when he said that, I was like, yeah, I want to do this.
This sounds dangerous.
So yeah, exactly. And I think it's a really special tour. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to give much of it away, but like it's a must do. If that's like one mainland tour you gotta do, I'd say ATM Cave.
And it's a whole day thing, right?
It is. Jobin, you stayed home that day. You didn't come with us for some reason. Job stayed back in the hotel and was sunbathing, probably. You need to be staying sunbathing.
The real Atlanta boy.
but it's a good tour.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
So, Rachel, go ahead with the last question for him.
All right, last question. If you were mayor for the day or somebody who has influence, what would be something that you would change on the island? Do differently or just generally
improve?
I don't know. I feel like my answer would be a bit biased because I'm a diver.
That's okay.
So I think what I would do, what would help us like compete with like the likes of Honduras and Mexico and our surrounding who are like big in the diving industry as well, is kind of make the island a bit more affordable, because from my travels and what I've seen, because we do have a lot of people asking, do you guys run, there's this thing called an instructor development course, and you get a lot of Europeans, a lot of young people who want to do this course, but they want to be on the island for a month or two. But what happens, they choose Mexico or Honduras because it's cheaper living, mm-hmm. cheaper food. Mm-hmm. So, but they certify hundreds and hundreds of people every month, which I think could benefit, you know, the island itself. But it's very difficult to do that here because of the cost of living.
Right.
Yeah.
And also, two, because in those courses you have to live and volunteer, so to speak. But the first thing they look for, if you want to volunteer here, they're like, you need a tour guide license, you need a work permit, yep. blah blah blah, stuff like that.
Yep.
So those centers don't work here. And what I've seen from being in Honduras, being in Mexico, they generate a lot of money anyway, and they generate a lot of, you know, even during the slow season, you have people that would be coming in and staying on the island and visiting the island.
And then going out and probably sharing Belize with people too, right?
So if I was mayor, I'd probably work on something on like a 2 month pass for visitors, mm-hmm. to even volunteer, so to speak. Mm-hmm. They won't be affecting any jobs or anything. Right. Their pass would just be for training.
Yeah.
And you know, so that's one thing I would change on the island.
So definitely good.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you brought up these questions, because in the three people that we've had, we've had completely different mm-hmm. answers, and you're like,
yeah. It's true. So who knows? Maybe the right person's listening to this and they'll contact you.
Who knows?
Well, yeah, dope. Shameless plug in your social media where people should go and follow Belize Pro Dive, follow you. Go ahead, man.
Yeah. I haven't done much social media stuff at the moment because we've been busy at the dive shop because of busy season, but I'm definitely getting back on it. Instagram is our biggest thing. Facebook. I'm working on a TikTok right now, getting into that. So yeah, follow us there.
It's just Belize Pro Dive.
Belize Pro Dive Center. Belize Pro Dive Center. That's where all our social media stuff is. And check us out. And Joe said, any locals, feel free to drop by. And I'm always more than happy. I'm still waiting for him to come learn to dive. So yeah.
Started with a snorkel. Okay.
Yeah, maybe so. I'm definitely one for advocating more and more locals to learn. You know, because at the end of the day, they're the ones who are going to take over later on and do all the jobs.
They can get that word out too as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can't talk about something if you haven't done it in your life, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. Absolutely. Exactly.
All right, guys, thank you for watching, and may you have a wonderful one.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you.